just hit that, and then this is the pause also.
Okay, it's time to start. So we start with the homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Usually do it one time, right? Okay, so we have a few sections. We are, today is August 3rd, 2015, and we are in Gare and Karuna Tilaka up to lesson 12. They can't hear. Everybody turn off your, or mute your microphones. Can you hear? Does anybody have any trouble hearing?
No, they said it's okay.
I'm trying to get everybody. Bowie, Francis, you okay?
I'm fine.
Bowie, you're okay? Kim is okay?
Yes.
June? Venerable?
Yes,
okay, so everybody can hear okay. Okay, so just to go over again, I just gave the date, August 3rd, 2015, and we are in Gare and Karuna Tilaka, the new course in reading Pali, lesson 12. And we just had a few points in grammar to wrap up. We're on page 171. On section 5, this is called Compound Perfective Forms. I assume you all know what that expression means. No, it's not about a few arahats. Yeah, it's not about a few arahats living in a compound. But you'll see what it means from the explanation. I think perfective in grammar means an action which started in the past, but it's still continuing at present. And compound means, in this case, that it involves a participle, past participle, joined with the auxiliary verb, the helping verb, which will be hoti. So we have the explanation. The past participle plus hoti gives the sense that the action has been accomplished. It's much like English, has gone, has done. So you'll see from the example, we'll just take the example first. Tena punyang kattang hoti. So tena, by him, punyang, merit, kattang, was done, or kattang is done, hoti. Hoti usually has the sense of is, but we would say has been done. So by him, merit has been done. So this is a bit different from saying he did merit. So if we say, he did merit a meritorious deed, that means like yesterday he did a meritorious deed, or last year, or maybe last life he did a meritorious deed. But when we say merit has been done by him, this suggests that he did merit in the past, but the merit is somehow like continuing into the present, like he is a person who has done meritorious deeds. Ting de dong ma? Ruguo niman ting bu dong, wo ching chang po wei fa a tini fa dwaini fa wei. Not fa wei. Fa fangi, fangi. Ting de dong? I should ting bu dong. Ting de dong. Little bit. Okay, Jishu says that she needs Bo Wei to translate. You don't have to translate word for word if you get the sense. Yeah, we have to put up the volume. Wait, let me increase the volume on the speaker. Okay, try again. But to give another example in English, okay, I could say, or somebody's, I could say, yesterday I went to New York. Okay, that is a past tense. I went to New York, and you know, that act is over with. But I could say, John went to New York yesterday. So he completed that action of going to New York yesterday. So that is the simple past tense. But somebody says, where is John? I say, John has gone to New York. That means John went to New York and he's still there. So an action was completed in the past, but it's still continuing in the present. So to put something like this in Pali, we could say, Ayasma Sariputto Gamang Agachi. So Venerable Sariputta went to the village. That is the simple past. But somebody asks, where is Venerable Sariputta? Then I would say, Ayasma Sariputto Gamang Gato Hoti. Venerable Sariputta has gone to the village. So he went there and he's still in the village. Okay, now we return to the book. So in this construction, the doer of the action will be in the nominative case if the verb is intransitive. Intransitive means that it doesn't have a direct object. And in the instrumental case, if the verb is transitive, as in the instrumental subject sentence construction given in 6.9. sometimes have to say I don't understand these grammatical explanations so clearly. In this construction, the doer of the action will be in the nominative case if the verb is intransitive. So the intransitive would be, let's take in the example given below, sabbe bhuta mata honti. So this is an example where the verb is intransitive. It doesn't have an object. And so the subject of this, the doer of the action, is in the nominative case. So sabbe bhuta is nominative case. And the verb is mata honti, have died. Okay, but we have the other example. In the doer of the action is in the instrumental case if the verb is transitive. So this will be the case of the sentence tena punyang katang hoti. So here we have the doer of the action is him, which is shown in the instrumental case, tena, by him. And the verb is transitive in that punyang katang hoti, merit has been done. He did merit. So he is the subject. Did is the verb, has done is the verb, and merit is the object. You see the difference? By him, merit has been done. Subject, object, verb. But sabbe bhuta mata honti, subject, sabbe bhuta, then the verb, mata honti, no object. Okay, we'll have to point out more. Any question about this? Yes, Stephen?
I have a question to the last one. So, Dave, if we were to put mata into, I guess, third person, powerless, whatever
that would be, so all beings, what would be the difference in the English rendering between that and this? Okay, with the aorist, it would be sabbe bhuta maringsu, all beings died. So if, for example, well, actually, the meaning would be pretty much the same. Suppose there was a house caught fire, and I asked, did anybody survive the fire? So one could say that sabbe manusa maringsu, all the people died. Or sabbe manusa mata honti, all the people have died. Actually, the sense, the effective meaning is the same.
So by using the participle and the auxiliary verb, it gives a more of a completed past sense?
It's rather the past tense that gives more the sense of an action completed in the past, whereas the compound perfective form gives the sense that, you say, the state brought on by the action is continuing into the present. So like, that's the subtle difference. All beings died last night at 9 p.m. But today, I would say, all beings have died. It means that their dead state is something continuing into the present. the difference brings on like deep philosophical reflections on the nature of time. In some context, it has that meaning, but in this a situation like this, or in a sentence like this, it would refer to living beings in general.
And mata, it's the same as ma. It's not the same root or as mata, mother.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But they're spelled the same. It's just different accent or different.
No, the word mata has the long a's. Mata is from the verb mariti, to die. Mata is.
But this might be related to Mara.
Yeah, actually, Mara is seemingly based on the causative form of the verb mariti, mareti, to kill. So Mara is the killer. I was thinking of trying to think of another example. Okay, I could say, so dhammang sunasi, he listened to the Dhamma. So let's say, so dhamma desanang sunasi, he, or suni, ta Dhamma Desanang Suni, he listened to the Dharma teaching. Hiyo, so hiyo Dhamma Desanang Asuni. Yesterday, he listened to the Dharma teaching. So that is the past tense. So is the subject. Dhamma Desanang is the object. Asuni is the aorist verb. Alternatively, I could say Dhamma Desanang Tena Sutang Hoti. Sorry, let me get my genders matched. Dhamma Desana Tena Sutta Hoti. He has heard the Dhamma teaching. Let me share the screen and type this out. Okay, so here we have yesterday he heard the Dhamma teaching, the Dhamma discourse. So this is the past tense or the aorist form. Here we have the perfective compound, compound perfective. So the Dharma teaching by him has been, was heard or has been heard. You know, so the nuance is a little bit different. Like the aorist indicates like a specific event that took place in the past and is finished. Whereas, of course, to say that he has heard the Dhamma discourse implied that there was a specific event hearing the discourse, but it's like a continuing property of his that he is one who has heard the Dhamma discourse. But it's always best to pick up from examples that we come across in the reading. So I'll point them out when we come across them. Okay, let us continue. Okay, with 5.2. Okay, here we have the past participle plus bhavisati or bhavisanti or whatever the number of people. Gives the sense, actually there's a mistake here, it says plus bhavisati in the appropriate gender, person, and number form. What is the mistake here? Can anybody point out the mistake?
Gender?
Yeah. There's no gender in verbs. Of course, the past participle has a gender, but a verb like bhavisati, there's no difference whether it's masculine, feminine, or neuter. Okay, the past participle gives the sense might have, would have, will have, and I would add sometimes must have. It says, note that although bhavisati is a future form, the sense of this construction is not necessarily future, but it may indicate a presumption that something has already occurred. It's like saying, you know, if somebody leaves here, say at 1 p.m., to go to New York City by the Metro North train at 5 p.m., I would say he must have arrived in New York by now. So in Pali, I might express that as, well, I don't know how to say New York in Pali. Suppose he was traveling to Rajagaha. So idani Rajagaham gato bhavisati. So at 5 p.m. he's taken the Metro North train to Rajagaha. So I say, so idani, he, so is he, idani, now, Rajagahang, at Rajagaha, pato arrived, reached bhavisati. So he must have reached rajagaha by now. So the verb here, bhavisati, is a future form, but I'm not indicating that he will reach rajagaha. At 2 o'clock, I might say, he will reach New York by 5 o'clock, because he's still traveling. So that's referring to the future. But this is referring to what must have happened, what might have happened. So let's look at some of the sample sentences. So, aduna gato bhavisati. So, one way to say this in English, he will have gone by now, or he must have gone by now. Tena idang katang bhavisati. By him, this must have been done, or he must have done this, or he might have done this. And notice, the participle is the past participle, but it's joined with a future verb. So when you have the participle plus the future verb, it gives the sense of something that one assumes has already happened. Bahujana eta agata bhavisanti. So bahujana, many people, eta here, agata bhavisanti. So agata, come, and bhavisanti normally will be, but here must have. So many people must have come here or might have come here. And in this form is also, we have a parallel form with the optative participle or the future passive participle. This is 5.3. So we have the explanation. The future passive participle plus bhavisati gives the sense that the action should be or must be done. Okay, the form under 5.2 is indicating an assumption, a presupposition that something has happened. Here is a little bit like the imperative sense that something should be done or must be done. Again, we have the doer of the action in the instrumental case. Well, here we have the case where the doer of the action is in the instrumental case, whether the verb is transitive or intransitive. Okay, so taking some examples. Tvaya imang kamang katabang bhavisati. So tvaya is by you. Imang kamang, this action, katabang bhavisati, must be done or should be done. In fact, you could just say tvaya imang kamang katabang, which gives the same meaning. This action should be done by you, must be done by you, or could be done by you. But when you add bhavisati, it makes it a little bit stronger. It gives that commanding sense. Ting the dong. Okay, so this sentence uses the subject, the doer of the action, or the one who should do the action, in the instrumental. The next example, well, this one also has the subject in the instrumental. Actually, it says that the subject, that's right, I'm sorry, the doer of the action is always in the instrumental. But in the first sentence, the sentence is a transitive type. This action should be done, must be done. So there is the subject, you, the object, comma, the action, and then the verb, kartabang bhavisati. The next sentence, we have the intransitive form, maya suve tata gantabang bhavisati. So the doer of the action is me, I, maya, by me. Suve is tomorrow. Tata, there. Gantabang bhavisati. Must be, literally it's must be gone to. And notice in this construction, we'll take the first sentence. Dvaya imang kamang katibang bhavisati. The grammatical subject of the sentence is kamang, the action. And so the verb is bhavisati, not bhavisasi. Do you understand this point? No? Okay. If I say, ahang, this is the second person, tvang imang kamang kareyasi. I'm not going to always use the diacriticals because that takes time. Tvang imang kamang kareyasi. You must do this action. Okay, here the subject, what is the subject? Tvang, you. And so the verb is which person? Second person. Because the verb has to agree with the subject. The subject is tvang, second person, nominative. Okay, the other sentence, dvaya imang kamang katabang bhavisati. Okay, so here, the doer of the action, or the one who must do the action, is still you. But the sentence is constructed so that the grammatical subject is imang kamang. And therefore, the verb imang kamang is third person, neuter, singular. So therefore, the verb must be third person singular. Does this make it clearer? Excuse me? No, I said I'm not going to, it takes time, I have to go up and copy and paste all of the, everybody knows that, it's the ung sound. Yeah. Okay, but don't worry too much about learning these in the abstract. When we come across reading passages and you get to see them again and again, then they get stored up in the neural processes. What did you say?
In the hard drive.
In the, yeah. Yeah, these are pretty, to explain and to understand, they're pretty hard to explain and to comprehend. They're a bit hard in the abstract. They're hard to explain and hard to comprehend in the abstract. But when you see concrete examples over and over, you get familiar with them. You have to be like an infant learning a new language. Nobody explains grammar to a 5-year-old child, telling him that his verbs have to agree with the subject. But if the child is brought up in a family where people are speaking English correctly, the child will learn how to speak and to read English correctly and to write. Yeah, of course, New Yorkers get a free pass. Okay, the next points are much easier to understand. Relatively simple. Okay, this is point 6, agreement with va phrases. Va means or. And now sometimes in Pali, we have the or being used when there's a male or a female subject, male or female noun. So which okay, we have to use, when we have male or female, often there's a relative and demonstrative pronoun going, there's a relative or and demonstrative pronoun in the sentence. So which gender is the pronoun going to agree with? In English, we don't have the problem. We say, that man or woman who went onto the train. So we just have one word, that, or that which. But in Pali, it's either male, or the pronoun is either male or female. So which pronoun does one choose? So this explains the principle. The relative, when the relative demonstrative, ya occurs with a va, that's an or construction, it will agree with the noun that it most nearly precedes. In other words, the relative pronoun, if it precedes a feminine noun, then it becomes the feminine form. If it precedes a masculine noun followed by a feminine, then it becomes a masculine pronoun. So we have ya iti va puriso va. So iti is feminine, puriso is masculine. And it's so the relative pronoun then becomes ya, because the feminine iti comes first. But if we have puriso va iti va, a man or a woman, then the relative pronoun, because it precedes the word for man, it becomes the masculine form. Yo puriso va iti va. I think I just lost Santusika. Okay, now we have the opposite case. This is 6.2. When a va construction is the subject of a participle, the participle will agree with the nearest noun. And this will be the noun that is the last in the series, because the participle generally, almost always, to my knowledge always, it follows the nouns. So this is clear as from the example. So we have here, yada iti va puriso va budang saranang. So here we have, when a woman or a man, then the sense is, has gone for refuge to the Buddha. So which gender will the word for gone agree with? The participle in the abstract or stem form is gatta. So here, the participle will agree with the last noun in the series. So since between woman and man, the man comes last, so here the participle is masculine. So it agrees with puriso. So it's budang saranang gato hoti. But if the order is inverted, so then we have yada puriso va iti va budang saranang. So when a man or woman has gone for refuge to the Buddha, then the participle gatta has to agree again with the last noun, but now that is the feminine iti, a woman. So the participle becomes feminine, gata hoti. Okay, any question about this?
Why is va after man and woman?
Yeah, this I would have explained in a much earlier Pali lesson, but I'll explain again. Okay, in English, we use, when we have the conjunct and or the disjunct or, we have just, in English it occurs just once, a man and a woman, a man or a woman. But in Pali, it generally occurs, the word for and or the word for or will occur with each noun. So it's like saying, when a woman or a man or has gone for refuge to the Buddha. Or if I want to say, the sun and moon pass through the sky, I would say in Pali, it's as if I'm saying, the sun and the moon and pass through the sky. He has gone for refuge to the Buddha and the Dharma. He has gone for refuge to the Buddha and the Dharma. This seems to mix.
Yeah, there's a line in the chant. It says, Rocha, Buddhancha, Dhammancha, Sanghancha.
Wait, if I say, he has gone for refuge to Buddha and the Dharma. He's gone for refuge to the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha. In English, you would just say, gone for refuge to the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha, twice. But in Pali, we would say, he has gone for refuge to the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha, and three times. Buddhancha Dhammancha Sanghancha. Buddhancha Dhammancha Sanghancha. Yes. So with each noun, the conjunct or the... each noun would get the conjunct or the disjunction. But it's not an invariable rule. Sometimes there are exceptions. Okay, one more grammatical point, which is very, very simple. And it's just a peculiar feature of Pali. Sometimes when a person refers to himself or herself, they will use two pronouns. Instead of just saying I, they'll use the third person, this, plus the first person pronoun. So here we have aso ahang. It's like saying this I. So the explanation, unlike in English, the demonstrative so or aso may precede any of the personal pronouns to give emphasis. So therefore we have aso ahung, so ahung, so tvang. That would be much less frequent. I want to get just some examples of this. I don't think so. I think it's just the convention of the languages. I don't think it has philosophical implications. It might... I mean, I'm not that familiar with the Sanskrit literature from the period, but it might have been just characteristic of the language. sort of blocks, really reduces the screen space. I wonder if too many windows are open. Yeah. Let's close some of these windows. I keep on opening windows to and don't close them. And as a result, the rain is coming through. Okay, here's a good example. It's very difficult to use this. Okay, here's a good example with the dative. So the Buddha is saying, Ayasantusika, are you online? Okay, here's an example with the combination of the two forms for the dative. The Buddha saying, Tassa maihang brahmana etad ahosi. So he's saying, it occurred to me, in other words, I thought, but it uses the two tassa maihang, to that me. Okay, so we have many of these, one after another. Tassa maihang. And this is interesting, actually. I wonder if this is a mistake. So here, instead of using ahang, it actually uses the demonstrative third-person pronoun, though with a first-person verb, first-person aorist. So he's saying, okay, when my mind was concentrated, purified, cleansed, etc., etc., I directed my mind to the knowledge of the passing away and rebirth of beings. But you see, the subject here, instead of using ahang, he uses the third person, so. Yeah, there might actually be a kind of depersonalization here, but I don't think it's sort of technically connected with the anatta doctrine, but maybe it's just a stylistic feature of the language. Thank you. trying to find an example of asohung, but we'll come across them in our reading. Well, let's see if we could find asoa. No, they're not close. Okay. Okay, any questions on any of the grammatical points?
At all?
No. Only the last, this last lesson. Excuse me? Again, don't worry too much about the abstract grammatical points. It will come across examples in the reading, and that will start to make it clearer. Well, this took longer than I expected. So we take a break now?
Do you want to finish that last section 7? Or we do. Yeah,
I finished it. Sam is here.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything.
You just want to pause?
I unlock it? Is that what
yeah,
I do?
Yeah. And then just hit.
Yeah. Okay, should close too many windows open. Okay, let us resume. Okay, let's check. Venerable Satchinanda, just say here. June? Okay. Kim? Bowie? Francis? And Aya Santusika? Okay, so everybody's there. Okay, my job of explaining grammar is over. Okay, now everybody settle down. Now we come to some reading passages. So we'll take 164, page 164. This is actually a very beautiful poem.
163,
don't I? No? We didn't
finish that last one. Yeah. So where did I leave off?
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I see. I have a marker there. Okay.
I mean, this one's beautiful, too.
It's incisive. Okay, so you see the line, Rosako Kadarioche. So I will repeat, I will recite each line, then you repeat after me. Rosako Kadarioche. Rosako Kadarioche.
Rosako Kadarioche.
Papicho Machari Sato.
Papicho Machari Sato.
Ahiriko Anotapi.
Ahiriko Anotapi.
Tangjanya Vasalo Iti.
Tangjanya Vasalo Iti.
So here the Buddha is explaining to a Brahmin what is the real meaning of an outcast or a wretched person. In Pali, that's vasala. So rosako, this is based on the verb we had in the previous verse, roseti, which means to scold, to insult. So somebody, rosako, is a scolder, somebody who scolds others. Then the word kadario means something like miserly. Yeah, stingy, miserly. Then papicho, this is a compound. What kind of compound? Future, there's no future compound. I thought you said you studied Pali. What kind of compound? Suki. What is that?
You just said Bahu.
Yeah.
Join.
It's a bahu-bihi compound made from papa is evil and icha is, icha, the feminine noun is desire. Here we combine papa plus icha and then it becomes a description of a person. So papicha is an evil desire, but papicho is one who has evil desires. In this case, it's a masculine noun, so it's referring to a man or a person in general, one who has evil desires. Then machari, actually machari and kadaria, almost the same meaning. Again, stingy or miserly. And sato is, I think this is in Chinese, chu, I think third tone, chu, deceptive, a cheater. Is a third tone, poe, chu. Often we get chan, chu together. Chan is a flatterer. And chu, crooked, deceptive. I don't, yeah. Second tone. For chu.
I think it's first tone.
Yeah. Chu. Chu. first tone. Okay. Then ahiriko. Now you know the noun hiri. Hiri means a sense of moral shame. Otapa means moral fear, moral dread. So ahiriko means one without moral shame, and anotapi means one without moral dread. It's a Chinese tan kui. Chan kui. So this is one meo chan kui, tasha, ahiriko, anotapi. So tang junya, remember junya is a kind of compressed optative form. One should know. One should know him as vasalo, as an outcast. So putting it all together, if someone is a scolder who is stingy, one with evil desires, miserly, deceptive, without moral shame, without moral dread, one should know him as an outcast. Okay, then comes the last verse, which sort of summarizes the point. Na jacha vasalo hoti. Najacha hoti brahmano.
Najacha hoti brahmano.
Kamana vasalo hoti.
Kamana vasalo hoti.
Kamana hoti brahmano.
Kamana hoti
brahmano.
Okay, last week I explained the form chaja. It's the same. Oops. As the instrumental jatiya. Jatiya is the instrumental of, oops, by birth. So if we remove that I, in order to fit the meter, then we would get jatya. But in Pali, we don't have the TY combination. So this would turn into jacha. But the first, you see, the double C makes it a strong syllable. And so the first vowel has to be weakened. And so it turns into jacha. So it means by birth. So the Buddha is saying, not by birth is one an outcast. Not by birth is one a brahmana, but rather kamana. kamana is what case? No. It's instrumental because it's relating actually to the Sanskrit. It's a little bit like the word Atman. You remember the word Atman? Or in Pali, Atta. Atan is the stem form. And then to create the instrumental, Atan means the self or oneself. To give the meaning by oneself, it becomes Atana. And similarly, the stem form of the word kama in Sanskrit is karman. And so what happened in Pali is that the word kama turned into a regular neuter noun ending in the short A. But there's still in the background the Sanskrit form kaman. And so here, to create the instrumental, the A ending is just attached to the stem kaman. So it gives a sense by action. Oh, I see. It says alternative appletive. I think it's incorrect. In fact, the instrumental makes better sense. By comma. Okay, so by karma, one is an outcast. By action, one is an outcast. By action, one is a brahmana. Any question on this? Any questions? Shall we go on to the last paragraph then? Okay. So, evang vute. Akika bharadvajo brahmano.
Akika bharadvajo brahmano.
Bhagavantang eta devocha.
Bhagavantang eta devocha.
Okay, so when this was said, the Brahmin Akika Bharadvaja said this to the Blessed One. He says, Abhikantang Bo Gotama.
Abhikantang Bo Gotama.
Abhikantang Bo Gotama.
Abhikantang Bo Gotama.
So Abhikanta here is excellent or outstanding. Sir Gotama. So now he's referring to the Buddha politely. So, Seyatapi Bo Gotama.
Seyatapi Bo Gotama.
Nikujitang Va Ukujaya.
Nikujitang Va Ukujaya.
Patichanang Va Vivareya.
Patichanang Va Vivareya.
Mulhasa va magang achikeya.
Mulhasa va magang achikeya.
Andakare va.
Andakare va.
Tela pajotang dareya.
Tela pajotang dareya.
Chakumanto rupani dakinti.
Chakumanto rupani dakinti.
Actually, dakin titi.
Dakin titi.
Okay, sayatapi, this is suppose or just like, just as if. This is a Chinese piru. So just as if Sir Gotama, then nikujitang va ukujaya. Okay, nikujitang is the accusative. It's originally it's a past participle meaning turned upside down. But here it becomes, the past participle is functioning as a noun, that which is upside down. And then ukujaya, this is the optative form, would turn upright. So just as if, then the subject is not mentioned, it's just someone, anyone. Just as if someone were to turn upright that which is upside down. We have four syllables here. Four similes. Then the next one, pati chanang va vivareya. So pati chanang, again, it's a past participle meaning hidden or concealed. It's the accusative object. Originally a past participle, but it represents the noun, that which is hidden, that which is concealed. And then vivareya means to open up or to reveal. Again, it's the optative singular, third person. Just as if someone were to reveal that which was hidden. Just as if someone were to open up that which was concealed. Okay, then we have the third simile. Mulhasa va magang achikeya. So mulhasa is dative singular. It's based on the word mulha, which is related to the noun moha. Moha means delusion or confusion. And this is somebody who is confused. Confused, like a traveler who's confused about the path. And then magang is the path. And the verb is achikeya, means to point out or to explain. Again, it's the optative singular. So, as if someone were to point out the path to one who was confused. And then the fourth simile, it's a bit complex, so we'll take it in two parts. So, undakare va tela pajotang dareya. So, undakara is darkness. And what case is undakare? Locative. So in the dark, then tela pajotang, tela is oil, and pajota is a lamp. Because in ancient India, they, for light at night, they used oil lamps. So this is an oil lamp. Dareya means to bring or to carry. So as if someone were to bring an oil lamp into the darkness. And then we have Chakumanto Rupani Dakinti. This is like, you see, it has the Dakintiti. This is like he's thinking. What he's, when he's bringing the oil lamp into the darkness, he's thinking. Chakumanto. Chaku is eye, the eyes. Manto means those who have eyes. It's just an expression. We would just say, so people. But here it means those who have eyes, who have good sight. That is the subject. Rupani are forms, visible forms. And Dakinti, this is a kind of archaic future form, meaning we'll see. So as if someone were to bring an oil lamp into darkness, thinking, those who have eyes will see forms. So all of these are the similes, sayatapi, just as if someone were to turn upright what was upside down, or to reveal what was hidden, or to point out the path to one who is lost, or to one who is confused, or to bring an oil lamp into darkness, thinking, those who have eyes will see forms. Then comes the application of the simile. That's with evam eva. This means in the same way, or just so, rusha in Chinese, in the same way, Bota Gotamena Aneka Pariyayena Dhammo Pakasito. So in the same way, now notice the construction here. This is a statement in which the real actor comes in the instrumental case, Bota Gotamena, by the Honorable Gotama. And then the subject, the grammatical subject, is actually the passive, Dhammo. So by Honorable Gotama, the Dhamma has been revealed, has been expounded, has been shown. And then Aneka Pariyayena, Aneka means many. It's actually the negation of Eka. Eka is one. So aneka is not one. In other words, many. And pariyaya means method or way? Pariyayana is what the Chinese translate as Fa Mun, Dharma gates. But the original meaning is simply method or way. And Aneka Pariyayena, it's a singular instrumental, but it really means, in English we would say, in many ways, like a plural. So by Honorable Gotama, the Dhamma has been revealed in many ways. But in normal English, we wouldn't use this passive instrumental construction, but we would say, in the same way, the Honorable Gotama has revealed the Dhamma in many ways. That sounds better, more natural in English. Any questions about this so far? Yeah.
The meaning of the future. Is the meaning contained inside the word? Because regular dictionary meaning is like a just not exactly future, just the present.
They say they give present in the dictionary. Mm-hmm. I'll have to check on that.
It's the same as the past.
The same as?
Dasati.
Or pusati.
Dasati.
Dasati.
Yeah, but we don't find dasati in Pali. It the das form in the present gets replaced by the pus forms. I'd have to look up that. Any other questions? You looked in the Pali English dictionary, correct? I'll look in the other dictionary, the newer dictionary.
What other dictionary is?
Yeah, now the Pali Text Society is publishing, since I think they started in the year 2000, it's a newer dictionary called Dictionary of Pali. It's coming in multiple volumes. So far they've published only two volumes, but it goes through from the short A through N so far. There'll be at least a third volume under preparation, all done by one person, one woman. Yeah. Any questions so far on this? Okay, so now the Brahman comes. Remember, this was the Brahman at the beginning of the sutta. When he sees the Buddha, he scolds him and denigrates him and calls him, "You bull, you baldy, you low down ascetic, you outcast." And now he says, "Esahang bhavantang gotamang saranang gachami." Okay, you have to repeat.
Esahang bhavantang
Damancha Bhikkhu Sangancha.
Damancha Bhikkhu Sangancha.
Okay, so here we have, at the beginning, we have the combination of aso plus ahang. Ah, now I see what happened. I was searching in the wrong way. Here we have aso plus ahang, and what happens is that the O actually gets dropped and the A gets extended into the long A. So it becomes asahang. So literally, it's this I. But in ordinary English, we would just say I. So I, then we take saranam gacchami. But let's take it grammatically. Okay, word for word. So we have bhavantam gotamang. This is accusative singular. And the Brahmins, when non-Brahmins go for refuge, they say, esahang bhagavantang saranang gacchami. But for some reason, the Brahmins still use the form, the Honorable Gotama, instead of bhagavantang, the Exalted One. So, and then we have saranang gacchami, go for refuge. And saranang is also an accusative. So in English, we say, I go to the Buddha, like it's a dative, for refuge, again, like a dative. But in Pali, the object of refuge and refuge itself come in the accusative, as though it's saying, I go to the Honorable Gotama refuge. And then we have Dhammancha and the Dhamma and Bhikkhu Sanghancha and the Bhikkhu Sangha. And in our modern age, we would say Bhikkhu Sangha, we have to say Bhikkhu Bhikkhuni Sangha. And here, notice the construction here, that there are, of course, three objects of refuge, but the verb comes after the first, and then the second and third objects of refuge. Second and third objects of refuge come after the verb. Maybe this is a stylistic feature. In normal Pali, one might say, esahang bhavantang gotamancha dhammancha bhikkhu sanghancha saranang gacchami. But to make it a little fancier, they put the verb after the first one, then the second and third objects of refuge come after the verb. And then he says, finally, upasakang mang bhavang gotamo daretu.
Upasakang mang bhavang gotamo daretu.
Ajatage.
Ajatage.
Panupetang saranang gatang.
Panupetang saranang gatang.
Okay, so first we'll take bhavang gotamo. Okay, bhavang here is the nominative singular. Bhavantang in the previous statement is the accusative singular. The stem form would be bhavant, which means like the honorable, the distinguished. So to form the accusative, one adds ung to the stem. But to form the nominative, we use bhavang. So that's the subject, is bhavang gotamo, the Honorable Gotama. Daretu means, what kind of verb is this? What kind? Speak. Maybe my hearing is getting weak. What kind of verb?
Imperative.
Okay, imperative. What person?
Sort of singular.
Right, third person singular imperative. So, of course, he doesn't give a command to the Buddha, but it's like a request. Let him consider me. Let him consider. And then the object here is Mung, me, and Upasakang, a lay follower. So let the Honorable Gotama consider me a lay follower. Then we have Ajatage. This comes from Ajato. That's an ablative form, from today. Plus Aga, one of the meanings of Aga is beginning. So that Ajatage means beginning today, from today on. Pan Upetang means possessed of life. In normal English, we would say, as long as I live. Then Saranang Gatang means gone for refuge. And the Gatang, third person singular, accusative, is agreeing with Mung. So the sense is, putting it all together, let the Honorable Gotama consider me an upasaka, a lay follower, who from starting from today has gone for refuge for life, as long as I have life, as long as I live. Any questions? Is it all clear? Very clear. Wait, I'm not getting the volume, sorry. Wait, let me boost the volume. Well, I have my volume on maximum.
Maybe the speaker itself is not turned up all the way?
I turned it up all the way. Okay, try again. Check your volume, Bowie, on your microphone. Okay, try again.
It's not very important. No. The version I have is Bhagavantam Gautamam Saranam Gacchami instead of...
Wait, say again.
Instead of Bhagavantam. The version I have is Bhagavantam Gautamam.
Really?
In the PDF, like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. It's in the PDF. It's like that. No. Yeah, the PDF will be based on the Burmese Sixth Council edition. And that's a mistake.
Oh.
Yeah. Because we see whenever the Brahmins go for refuge, when ordinary people or non-Brahmins go for refuge, always it's simply Bhagavantang Saranangachami. I go for refuge to the Blessed One. But the Brahmins always refer to the Buddha as Bo Gautama or Bhavang Gautamo. And so when he's going for refuge, taking Gautamang in the accusative, then the word that describes Gautamang is based on Bhavang, not Bhagava. So it becomes Bhavang, Bhavantang Gautamang. I find, I have to say, this is going to reverberate over the internet, but there are lots of little flaws in the Burmese Sixth Council edition.
When was it made?
During the Buddha Jayanti ceremony. I think they started the editing during the Buddha Jayanti, you know, the 2500th anniversary of the Buddhist era, around 1956. I know my ordination teacher, Balangoda Ananda Maitreya, he said to me, he was the head of the Sinhalese committee at the Sixth Council, at the Sixth Council itself, and he shook his head and said, "We tried to." Yeah, well, Sachinanda, you're staying at a Burmese temple? Better turn down your volume. He said, "We tried to convince these Burmese monks that they had bad readings, and they would just sort of shake their head. And when the books were printed, they kept the Burmese readings." Yeah, I mean, there is.
What do they use on Sutta Central?
I think it's likely that they're using, because it's very convenient. Yeah, it's very convenient because the Goenka's Vipassana Research Institute put the Burmese Council into the electronic digital format. And so it's spread all over the internet and everybody is using that. And so it's very convenient.
Is there a Sinhalese critical edition in that
alphabet? The Sinhalese also prepared an edition of the Pali Tripitaka also around the time of the Buddha Jayanti. Though they started the Buddha Jayanti, the volumes were published over maybe a 10-year period, even longer, using the Sinhala script. A project had been undertaken to digitalize the Sinhala script, Buddha Jayanti edition, and publish in Roman script, and they're available on the internet, but that version was not proofread carefully, so there's a lot of typographical errors in it. But one can, if one learns the Sinhala script, I found recently that this Sinhala script Buddha Jayanti edition is available through, not in the digital form, but through, I guess, scanning of the original books. It would be useful, well, if somebody were to proofread the digital version of the Sinhalese edition. I generally find the Sinhalese edition much preferable to the Burmese. And the Sinhala, I have to say, the Pali Text Society editions are quite useful because they have footnotes in which they show variant readings in the manuscripts. So I think they rely largely on Sinhala script, old Sinhala script manuscripts. And even though they do have their faults, but from the variant readings, you could see what different manuscripts had. Okay, I think we have to end for today. Okay, we end with three bows to the Buddha.
Thank you, Andre.